time for the Bay Area's favorite radio quiz show. This week, moderator Dana Rodriguez is joined by lawyer Don Crapo and teacher Lori Fisher. Here's your moderator, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, David, and welcome everybody to Minds Over Matter. Hope you're having a lovely weekend, and we also hope you can spare us an hour of your valuable time tonight, because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program, so of course we hope you can call and tune in and participate. That's very, very important to us. Please do at area code 415-841-4134. Again, that is area code 415-841-4134, or toll-free. Yes, we have a toll-free number, 866-798-8255. That is 866-798-8255. Our lines are totally open right now. Even Ed isn't on the line yet. So feel free to give us a call, and we'll get you on as soon as possible, I guarantee you. So again, 415-841-4134 with a question or answer. Well, we can't answer our questions yet, but if you have a question of your own, or toll-free 866-798-8255. We'll be covering current events, movies, history, literature, geography, television, radio, and just about everything else. And just to remind you of our email address, which is mindsovermatter1, MINDSOVERMATTER 1. That is the numeral 1. So that is mindsovermatter1 at gmail.com. And we don't read them, as I said, during the show, but they all get read. So it's always a pleasure to hear from our listeners, mindsovermatter1 at gmail.com. If you'd like to hear the show online, you can certainly do that simply by going to kalw.org. They have a live stream going on right now, so you can listen that way, or you can hear the podcast reasonably soon after our show tonight, as many do. Of course, you can't call in from the podcast, but that's okay. And that will be at kalw.org. And of course, if you wait a little longer, it'll be on iTunes and a bunch of other places. So all that being said, we're going to start with a round of introductions and then a round of questions. And here's the first. Once and for all, Lori Fisher would like to squelch the rumors he is not hosting the Oscars, not performing at the Grammys. I guess you're not. You're this the hip hop. You're on strike, and not being traded to the New York Knicks. He is happily home, behind the mic at Minds Over Matter. Oh, has it come to that? This is your it's home not... now. You've moved into the station.
Well, don't say it like it's a bad thing. It's a lovely home.
All right, let me get you a blanket here. Then.
Yeah, Don Chapo is grateful that the rain has let up long enough to dry out his dogs.
And our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, will not be throwing his hat anywhere. Thank you very much.
All right.
It is a lovely hat.
Oh, thanks.
It
but
is.
There are too many others lying around right now.
Well, keep it on for a while.
Yeah, I will. And we're going to begin with, in his unaccustomed chair, Lori Fisher.
Oh, I'll try to live up to the pace that Kira usually gives for us. Mm-hmm. You may or may not know that this is the 60th anniversary of the opening of the Embarcadero Freeway. And it's the 28th anniversary of its being torn down after the Loma Prieta earthquake. So there's a piece in.
Jesus, 28 years ago.
Yeah, 1991. There was a great celebration by many people when it was taken down because of for many good reasons. And part of the celebration was a number of people dressed up as a famous celebrity and sang a particular song that was appropriate. Who'd they dress up as, and what was the song? And then as a third question, the San Francisco Gay Men's Chorus came to the demolition site and also sang a song. And this was all in preparation for the great teardown. So which celebrity did lots and lots? I read as many as 50 people came dressed as this celebrity to sing a certain appropriate song, and then the San Francisco Gay Men's Chorus also sang.
Emperor Norton?
No.
So is this a famous figure in San Francisco history?
Not to my knowledge. It's a famous figure, but as far as I know, this person is not Emperor Norton-ish at all. It's just a celebrity.
Was this celebrity alive at the time?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Almost for sure. Yeah. You know what?
Is the celebrity connected to the song?
No. I think it was just a wacky... The celebrity's kind of wacky and famous. The song is, like, what song would you sing that's appropriate?
But you wouldn't associate the celebrity with the freeway in any way.
I wouldn't. Yeah.
So there's no logical
it would just be
way
the kind
to look
of,
at this.
Well, there's a logical thing to the song that they sang, for
right.
sure.
But the celebrity?
The celebrity, not so much, unless there's something I don't know.
Why would 50 people dress up as the same celebrity?
I think word got out. And I don't know if it's 50. They just said so many. Word must have gotten out that let's dress up like this is. I'll give you this. This person's a famous singer.
Was this a primarily gay crowd that dressed up as this celebrity?
Almost certainly.
Okay.
So it's probably Cher.
think a generation before Cher in persona and all that, and I don't think you're far off.
Ethel Merman?
That's it.
No one looks more surprised than I do right
now.
All
right, good job.
Okay, it was Ethel Merman. And if somebody knows the reason they would have chosen Ethel Merman, I don't. Okay, now work on the song that both the Ethel Mermanites sang and the San Francisco Gay Men's Choir sang.
Are any of the songs Everything's Coming Up Roses?
No. The songs aren't associated with Ethel Merman even a little. So take off all your gypsy songs. Nope. And no.
All right. So once more, what do you want?
The people who dressed up like Ethel Merman to celebrate the demolition of the Embarcadero Freeway's demolition, to repeat myself, what song did they sing? And then they were followed by the San Francisco Gay Men's Chorus, who sang another song. Both appropriate.
All right. And Don, you go ahead, too.
Okay. Let's start out with one for you, given the time of year. Name the only three films that have won the top five Academy Awards, Best Picture, Best Director, Best Actor, Best Actress.
And, it Happened One Night is one of them.
Yes.
And I know another. Do you want to?
Go ahead.
I think One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest won them all.
Yes.
And then didn't Silence of the Lambs also win it?
That's it. Yeah. Got all three.
Yeah. All right.
I definitely need to step up my game.
All right. So you can ask another question. Go ahead.
Okay. Which U.S. president spoke English as a second language?
Oh.
Martin Van Buren.
Yeah.
Yes.
Dutch was his first language.
Yes. Okay.
All right, you have one more?
Give him one more.
You're
out of questions?
I'm out of questions already. All right. How long is the day on the equator?
All right, we'll leave that out because I don't know it anyway.
How long is the day? Okay.
Isn't the same length day as...
I think if we guess 24 hours, we're going to be wrong.
Is this a trick question?
Well, it's... the daylight, I should say, not the day. How long is daylight?
Oh, the daylight.
On the equator. Yes.
All right, leave that out.
Yes.
Right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, Ed. How are you?
Hi, Ed.
I have a couple of very quick questions. At 102 years old, she is the oldest actress living today from the golden age of Hollywood movies. What is her name?
Olivia de Havilland.
You guys, very quick. Okay, second very quick question as well. The employees of this man who's running for president won a $14 million judgment against him for his stealing their tips in a cup. Who is he?
So he was stealing tips?
Yeah. You know, when you go to places, you leave tip for waiters or waitresses.
Right.
And his company stole that, made it part of the management.
Oh,
it's Howard Schultz.
Howard Schultz. Shame, shame, shame. And he's going in, by the way, in a lot of very, very radical anti-American agenda. Let this guy just go to hell. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Not to be political or anything.
No,
don't hold back.
Good to have an opinion.
All right. Let me give you a couple of questions here. We do have a couple of lines open, and you're welcome to call with a question or answer. Those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255. Okay. So what was the I'm fascinated by crime statistics, and I was looking this up today. So what was the single most stolen item of clothing in 2018 in the United States?
Okay.
One guess.
So if I said, were they MAGA hats, the Make America Great hats? Okay. Is it something that specific, or is it more like a hat?
Well, it's sort of generic, but it's, yeah, you could say hat, and I would have accepted it, but if it had been
if
a hat.
Only if it was right, though, right?
Only if it was right, yeah.
Stolen at retail, or?
Yeah.
I mean, oh, from retail stock.
Yeah.
Okay.
Shoplifted.
Okay, I was thinking from people. Okay.
So what was the single most stolen item of clothing in 2018 across the United States?
Bras?
No.
Going to say a sweater.
No.
Okay.
All right. So once more, what was the single most stolen item of clothing in 2018 across the United States? And I should have added, because it might have precluded your answer, maybe, is that both women and men can wear this item of clothing.
Maybe. Yeah.
Maybe, but maybe not.
Maybe, but maybe not. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're not here to judge.
All right. Yes. Okay. Next question, also crime statistics. What was the single most stolen food item worldwide last year? What was the single most stolen food item worldwide last year? So 5% overall of this item was stolen. In other words, you know, added cumulatively.
Wow. I'm going to say something simple like rice.
Good guess. No, not rice.
I was thinking sugar.
Not sugar. All right. So, two questions. What was the single most stolen item of clothing in the USA in 2018? And what was the single most stolen food item worldwide in 2018? And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Fran in San Francisco.
Hi, Fran.
Hi. My first question is the name Wayne Knight. I want to know what character he played on what show predominantly.
Newman.
Yes, on
the Seinfeld show.
Right.
Newman.
Yes, and he also, just for the heck of it, did another character in another sitcom. Do you happen to know that one? A small role. Later.
No, I don't.
I don't know.
He was
that.
In Jurassic Park.
He was. Yeah.
He was in Third Rock from the Sun.
Oh.
He played the policeman, Sally's boyfriend.
Oh, okay.
Did not know that.
Oh, well. I have another Seinfeld question.
Yes.
Okay. I want to know how much was Jerry Seinfeld offered if he would do a 10th season by the NBC president, former, per episode. He offered him how much?
You mean just him personally as a salary?
Yes.
Well, I think they were making $1 million an episode or something by the end. And so...
So it'd be a lot more.
$2 million an episode?
More.
Yeah, how about... Tim Allen was offered $5 million an episode.
Oh, really?
That is the correct number.
Oh,
that's right. $5 million?
Geez. I'm reading it right in my book here, Seinfeldia, yes.
Good.
My son. And I have one question for last week. I believe the name Freddie Mercury was brought up by Lori Fisher.
It's possible.
That's very possible.
I don't remember what it was about, but he was from the rock band Queen, I think, Freddie Mercury.
Right.
He was originally born in another country and had a... This is too hard, I know. He had another name, and he was born in another country. Do you know the country he was born in?
He was born in Zanzibar, wasn't he?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Got a bell.
And he was Lebanese, or I think partially Lebanese, but I don't remember his name. I'm sorry.
But you got Zanzibar. The name is pretty hard. It was Farouk Bulsara.
Ah, all right.
Yeah. So anyway, thanks everyone. Those are my questions. I put them together yesterday, so I wouldn't have to think twice.
Thank you very much.
Good job.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye. Bye. And Lori, it's your turn.
All right. So this is a Saturday Night Live hosting question. I was watching last night and wondering if people had ever hosted in groups, and there's been a bunch of different groups. I'm looking for duos, just two people, and there's only one each of the following. Two brothers hosted, two sisters hosted, and a comedy team hosted. And I mean by a comedy team, they performed as a team. So it's not like Tina Fey and Amy Poehler or Martin Short and Steve Martin, kind of an occasional team. This was a permanent team.
So two brothers hosted at the same time?
Correct.
Okay.
And then two sisters, and then a comedy team hosted. It would be like Abbott and Costello, who did not host. And I'm pretty sure they're the only one in each category. Two brothers, different night, two sisters, different night, a comedy team.
The comedy team, I think, and this is way, way, way early in the show.
It is.
Was Burns and Schreiber.
Not.
It was not Burns and Schreiber.
It was not. But it's early in the show. It's early in their run. They did not. They weren't on the list as hosting.
Oh. Okay. Huh.
Someone can call and correct me if I'm wrong. At least it's another.
I sort of remember them on. Maybe it was only one of them. Maybe it wasn't both. Is the comedy team still around?
No. I think at least one of them. They broke up. And I think at least one of them has passed away.
Okay.
The comedy team of the three appeared earliest in the run of Saturday Night Live.
Okay. Huh. All right. So if you would just repeat the question.
Yeah. So of the comedy, of the duos that have hosted Saturday Night Live at the same time, there's only one set of brothers, one set of sisters, and one comedy team that's hosted in its 43-year history. Who are they?
Are the brothers Ben and Casey Affleck?
No. It's a really good guess. Oh. They both hosted, but not together.
Okay. Huh. Are both the brothers actors?
Yes.
Oh, the Wilson brothers?
No. Another good guess of acting brothers.
Hmm. Okay.
They're both. Of the people, the brothers are the most famous.
They're the Baldwins.
Not the Baldwins.
No.
Alec Baldwin has hosted something like 17 times.
Yeah.
I don't think he hangs out with his
I think his brother did once.
I think it's one of his brothers did, but not with him.
Okay. Yeah,
that's
all right.
A good guess. All right.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Peter in Glen Park.
Hey, Peter.
A couple of guesses.
Okay.
For most stolen clothing, how about shoes?
Not shoes.
Okay, and food, how about coffee?
Not coffee.
Oh, well.
From Starbucks.
I have a question.
Yes.
We're getting into that time of year for the Lupercalia. It's the Ides of February.
I was going to say, in San Francisco, it's always time for the Lupercalia.
Well, last time we discussed the Lupercalia,
yes.
You did say that it's a sort of a sound like a San Francisco should be tradition.
Mm-hmm.
Remind you that it's during the lambing season. This is an ancient festival. The wolves came down from the hills to predate on the lambs, and the shepherds went out and killed as many wolves as they could to get as many lambs. So there was a lot of wolf hide available. And to celebrate and to engender fertility, they took strips of wolf hide, and the men ran naked through the streets. And the young ladies who wanted to be fertile would show some bare skin to the gentleman, and the gentleman would whip them with the wolf hide. And this allowed some play for the gentleman to indicate interest by the strength of their whipping, and the
ladies. This is getting better and better.
Ladies to show by the amount of skin that they showed.
I'm hoping there's not a question here. Just keep going.
There is a question.
Nice. All right. Thank you for the call.
Which is, which Shakespearean character ran in the Lupercalia?
Ah, very interesting question. So did this originate in any particular country?
Well, it was generally Mediterranean.
Mediterranean. Okay.
And so a Shakespearean character, male or female? Or you're not
male.
So he went around whipping nubile females with wolfskin.
So you want the character, not the play?
But well, both.
I'm not saying I have either one. I'm just asking.
Well, if you get the one, you might get the other.
So it's a prominent character?
Not in this play particularly. Well, yes, he's prominent, but not the hero.
It's a young man?
Yes.
And it's in the Mediterranean?
Mm-hmm. Historical play.
Oh, historical play.
Yes. Mentioned fairly recently on the show because he doesn't have many lines. The hero, the title character, does not have many lines.
So it's Julius Caesar.
Yes.
So it's not Julius Caesar. He didn't run around whipping women. There's no romantic lead, is there?
It's the beginning of the play when the priest tells Caesar to beware the Ides of March.
Oh, you mean that's
so it's not the soothsayer who's the character?
No,
and it's not okay. It's not Brutus or no. Cassius.
Could it be Mark Antony?
Yes. Very good.
Wow. And then he runs off and goes with Cleopatra. So it all works out pretty well.
Well, thank
you. Good job.
We wouldn't have gotten it without all your hands. So thank you so much.
All right. Take care.
All right.
Good
bye-bye. And you are listening to Minds Over Matter. Hope you're enjoying the show. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. for the last 25 years or so. And so we hope you can make time to give us a call tonight with a question or answer. Those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255. Our panel tonight, teacher at Apple Valley College, Lori Fisher, and attorney Don Chapo, and I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez, and you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That is KALW, your local public radio station. And Don, it is your turn.
Okay. Current events. In January, just last month, Shanghai opened the world's longest what?
Longest what?
It is a construction project. I'll give you that.
Well, tunnel?
No.
So it's not subway related?
It is not subway related.
It is not below the ground?
It is not below the ground.
Is it transportation related?
It could be. Partially.
The world's longest...
Bike trail?
No.
No. Is it amusement related?
No.
Oh.
No.
I was thinking maybe a roller coaster or something.
And it's something the public would have access to?
Yes.
Okay, so it's not like buried cable.
You know? No.
Okay.
No.
Is it something people in this room might have used or would use? Do we have one here in the United States?
We actually do have them here in the United States, and we have them. And the first one was actually built in the Netherlands.
Yeah.
So is it meant to get you from one place to another?
Yes.
With some dispatch speed?
It doesn't move.
It doesn't move.
It's a construction project. It doesn't move.
But it conveys something from one place to another, like a road.
It allows you to convey yourself, I would suppose, from one place to another.
Wait a minute. So is it an escalator?
No.
Or a...
No.
Well, it moves.
Elevator?
It doesn't.
No.
All right. Well, could you read that once more?
That's good.
Sure. In January of this year, Shanghai opened the world's longest what? And it is a construction project. It is an item that is affixed. It's permanent.
Would it be too much to tell us how long it is? Like, is it miles or inches?
Oh, it's 86 feet long.
Oh.
Well, that's not very long.
No.
Yeah.
Okay.
But for this, it is, actually.
Yeah, well, yeah. If it's the world's longest, it is. Somebody will be on this one.
Okay.
Was it in the paper recently?
It was, yeah. No, okay. it was this week.
All right. Our audience is all over this.
Let's go to a call.
Google.
Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Bongo from San Rafael.
Hi,
and
Bongo.
For food and clothing, I'm going to guess that mac cheese and socks.
I'm going to give you, it's not mac and cheese, but it's cheese. It's really? The single most stolen food item worldwide. So, yes. But
okay,
not socks.
No, okay, thanks.
All right, thank you.
The cheese is a surprise, and so many cultures don't eat it at all.
Well, somebody can have my share. I'll tell you that.
Well, they've stolen it.
I can't stand cheese.
Who stole my cheese? That's what I want to know.
And, yes, so the single most stolen food item worldwide is cheese. All right. Let me give you another question here. Okay, I'm going to give you... let's see. I'm going to give you five authors, and I want you to tell me what state they are actually from, what U.S. states. In other words, what state they were born in.
No.
Oh, time to hang up. And again, so these are five well-known American authors, and I want you to tell me what U.S. state they were actually born in, and as in Mark Twain or Sam Clemens was from Missouri. So here we go. Number one, F. Scott Fitzgerald. Number two, James A.G. Number three, Harriet Beecher Stowe. Number four, Sylvia Plath. Number five, Ezra Pound, which is the most surprising of the group. So again, these five famous U.S. authors, tell me what state, what U.S. state they were born in, what state they were from. Number one, F. Scott Fitzgerald. Number two, James A.G. Number three, Harriet Beecher Stowe. Number four, Sylvia Plath. Number five, Ezra Pound. Give you each a guess.
Don, you want one or two?
Harriet Beecher Stowe, I'm going to guess Georgia?
No.
I think Fitzgerald was born in Minnesota.
That is correct. He was born in Minnesota.
Yeah, and you want us to stop?
And yes.
Leave it out there? Okay.
Do you know any more for sure?
I know one, kind of.
All right. Then we'll stop there for now. So again...
If I had said no, would you let me guess?
yeah, I probably would let you guess. Anyway, so again, these famous U.S. authors, I want you to tell me what state they were from. F. Scott Fitzgerald was from Minnesota. The others on the list are James A.G., Harriet Beecher Stowe, Sylvia Plath, and Ezra Pound. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Sheldon on a boat in Richmond.
Hi, Sheldon.
On a boat.
I would pay good money to see Abbott and Costello host Saturday Night Live.
I would have too. Too bad they didn't. Yeah.
In World War II, the Russian warriors encountered something while they were out in the world that when they came back home, there was a huge demand for it. So they set up factories in, first factory was in Moscow, and they manufactured millions of these products. Variations of the product are still being manufactured today. What is that?
Are they Mickey Mouse watches?
Oh, they're not Mickey Mouse watches, but they're wristwatches.
Wow. Wristwatch, yeah. You see in old newsreels and things that there was a lot of black market buying of watches and after, you know, in Berlin after the war ended and trade between the U.S. and the Russian soldiers and that sort of thing.
Yeah, it really wasn't a product that was manufactured in the Soviet Union until after World War II, though.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks a lot. Great show.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Are you there? Hello? Are you there, caller? Shouldn't wander away from the phone. Okay.
Yes, hello.
Oh,
hello.
Yes, you're on. There you go.
Hi. Sorry.
The lucky enthusiasm.
Peggy from San Francisco.
Hi.
And Mayor London Breed honored a man on Thursday and made... named a declaration made the day after him, and the San Francisco Symphony also honored him this weekend at their concerts. He's known as the Jackie Robinson of classical music. You know who he is?
I did read about this. It was first black. He was a cello player, right?
String bass.
I'm sorry, and I saw a picture, but I'm sorry I can't think of his name. But I. Was he the first first African-American player in any symphony in the U.S., or was it?
The first one in a national caliber.
Okay.
Symphony. Yeah, he had actually played in the Denver Symphony at first.
And I'm sorry, I don't remember his name. What was his name?
His name is Charles Burrell.
Charles Burrell, okay.
He had, apparently he had heard the San Francisco Symphony on his crystal radio when he was 12 years old.
Wow, what year?
And that inspired him under Pierre Monteur.
Oh.
And that inspired him to become a classical musician. And he joined the San Francisco Symphony 60 years ago.
Wow, excellent. Good question.
And he played both classical and jazz bass, and he's still alive. He lives in Colorado now.
That's great.
Thank you very much for that question.
You're welcome.
All right. Bye-bye. And let's see. Lori, it's your turn.
All right. Oh, well, one of the callers brought up Shakespeare, so I have a Shakespeare question.
All right.
Somebody, the Concordance of Shakespeare, which lists every word, has done a count of every word that Shakespeare used. I want to know the top five words, but eliminate all the pronouns. So no I and you, no thee and thou, no simple verbs like is and was, the non-action verbs. And also, not that they'd be on there, but words like alas and alack, those aren't on there. These are common everyday words.
Are these declarative words?
No, I'd say all but one of them are just a common noun. So they're not like oh or well or really. They're not those kind of words. They're much more.
Forsooth.
Forsooth's not on the list.
No.
So I'm looking for the top five. I have about the top 20, so if you go, I might be able to find it. But
so these are common words, but they're not declarative.
Correct.
And are they? Could they be adjectives?
They could be. Most of them are not. Most of them are nouns. There's an adverbs thrown in there. But if you think nouns, you'll get most of them. And I'll say this. All of them are none of them would seem old or old-fashioned now. So they're all in common use now as well.
Well, I know you used tomorrow at least three times.
He did. And that doesn't make the list.
Too bad.
The most used word is 2,800 times.
Oh, 2,800.
Oh, wow. Tomorrow.
I don't have how many tomorrow, but tomorrow's not in the top 20.
All right.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay, just give the question again.
So of the words that Shakespeare used the most that aren't pronouns or non-action verbs like is and was or alas and alack, which ones did he use the most? I'm looking for the five top ones, but if you get any others, I'll let you know. And most typically they're nouns, but there's a couple others thrown in.
Okay. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Connie in Florida.
Hi, Connie.
Florida.
Hi, I have a guest on the SNL host, The Brothers. Was it The Bridges?
It was.
Oh, very good.
Bo and
good
Jeff job. Bridges in season 8. Very good.
Yeah, I figured probably maybe around that time that movie came out with Michelle Pfeiffer.
Right,
yes.
Right, right.
Yeah, the Fabulous Baker Boys. Yeah. I think that's exactly the connection. Yeah. Good.
Okay, I have a guest just on the clothing. Is it jeans?
It is jeans. Very good. Really? Yes.
Oh. Okay. That's all I have for tonight. Thanks.
Thank you.
Respect to Florida.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was the most stolen item of clothing in the U.S. in 2018? That was jeans. Jeans. Let's see. And Don, you go ahead.
Okay. This one's for you. You'll get this one. Who has the most Academy Awards and how many?
Oh, you mean of any in any category?
In any category, but as a person.
Isn't it Edith Head? The designer?
No.
Oh, okay. Then I think I know.
In any category. Well, Walt Disney.
Yes, Walt Disney. How many?
Oh, gosh. I'll 27, I'm just guessing.
Oh, you're 26.
Oh,
right. Yeah, nice. Yeah, 22 competitive and 4 honorary.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Go ahead and ask somebody else.
Okay. All right. Where do we get 60 seconds in a minute and 60 minutes in an hour and 24 hours in a day? Where does that come from?
Well, the 24 hours a day is the amount of time it takes the Earth to rotate once on its axis. Is that true still?
Well, it's still true, but why 24 hours?
Oh, why the 24? Yeah.
Why do we use the numbers 60, 60, and 24?
I do not know, but I have a feeling that somebody's... Liz in Berkeley does.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
It sounds Roman, is it?
See, it's older than that.
Older than that. Egypt.
So ask the question once more, please.
Okay. Why do we have a division of time which is 60 seconds in a minute, 60 minutes in an hour, and 24 hours in a day?
All right. And let's see. Oh, let's repeat any questions that haven't been answered yet. So you don't have to repeat that one. But.
So on the demolition day of the Embarcadero Freeway, the Ethel Merman lookalike sang what song? And then they were followed by the Gay Men's Chorus that also sang a song. What was it? Of the duos that have hosted Saturday Night Live, our Florida contingent got Bo and Jeff Bridges as the brothers. I'm looking for one set of sisters and one comedy team. And I'm looking for the top five words that appear in Shakespeare's plays that are common words, not ancient, and not pronouns or intransitive verbs.
Go ahead. Was there anything that hasn't been answered other than the question you just asked?
Yeah, the question I just had, plus how long is daylight on the equator?
Right.
And in January of this year, Shanghai opened the world's longest what?
Okay. Let's see. What do I have left here? All I have is these famous U.S. authors came from what state? And there are different states, obviously. The one that was answered was F. Scott Fitzgerald, who came from Minnesota. So what state did these other authors come from? States, I should say. James Agee, Harriet Beecher Stowe, Sylvia Plath, and Ezra Pound.
Can I get one more of those, or do you want me to wait?
Wait.
Okay. Okay, now I don't know.
Oh, okay, now you don't know. And, okay, so now we can go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello.
Hi.
Is it me?
It is you.
Uh-huh. Okay, I'm Stefan in San Francisco.
Hi.
And I just want to offer that the SNL comedy team was the venerable and magnificent Bob and Ray.
Oh, very good.
You know what? They weren't on my list as hosting. One of their daughters appeared as a cast member. So are you sure?
I think they were. They were on. I don't know. I know they were on the show. I don't know if they were the hosts or not.
Yeah.
Then I'm wrong. But they're still magnificent.
But they were on the show.
They were on the show.
They were on the show.
And Chris Elliott is one of their sons. Abby Elliott was his daughter.
Yes.
But I don't think they hosted. But anyway, give them a bell. Right. Good effort.
Thank you so much.
And somebody could look it up and
check. I'll set my high note.
Is that it? Oh, I guess that's it. Okay. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Tom in SoCal.
Hey, Tom.
Hello?
Yes.
Oh, hey.
Go ahead.
And just to clarify, Abby Elliott is Chris Elliott's daughter.
Right.
Right.
Okay.
And Bob and Ray's granddaughter.
Granddaughter. There you go. Did the 60, 24 hours, is that from the Babylonians?
It is from the Babylonians, yes. And they had a sexagesimal counting in 60s system for mathematics and astronomy, and they actually got it from the Sumerians. So it's about from 3500 BC.
So why did they pick 60, 60, and 24?
60 is actually a better number than to use than 10 because it's there's a whole explanation here. But the use of 12 subdivisions for day and night with 60 hours for minutes turns out to be much more useful if you want to avoid having complicated portions of a day. 12 is divisible by 2, 3, 4, 6, and 12 itself, whereas 10 has only 3 divisors. 60 has 12 divisors, and because 60 equals 5 times 12, it actually combines with 10 and 12.
Oh. So basically random, but it makes sense.
It makes sense.
Yeah. That's interesting. Yeah. I don't think I knew that.
Well, thank you very much. And
you're welcome. Let's see. The comedy team, was it the Smothers Brothers?
It was not. They did not host.
That's a good guess.
It's a great guess.
Ah, shoot. I couldn't think of any sisters aside from Crystal Gayle and Loretta Lynn, but I'm sure that's probably wrong.
They did not host. And I didn't know they were sisters. Yeah. So that's cool.
And you mentioned Wayne Knight earlier. I just wanted to point out that famous San Francisco scene he was in with Sharon Stone in Basic Instinct.
Oh, right. That's, he was one of the cops.
That he was in that. Yeah, him and Michael Douglas.
In the interrogation scene. That's correct.
Great pairing. Embarcadero Teardown is one of the songs I left my heart in San Francisco, is that too obvious?
It's not too obvious. It's not correct, but it's not too obvious.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll pick some wild guesses at the other song. How about Freeway of Love?
Good guess. That's really close. That's a really one.
Yep. King of the Road?
Not King of the Road, but you're in the right neighborhood for getting...
Sitting on the Dock of the Bay?
Also, a better choice than what they did.
I Gotta Be Me? I don't know.
You do, but that's not correct.
Long and Winding Road?
Nope.
Bridge Over Troubled Water?
These are excellent. None of them are correct, but these are really good.
Darn. Authors, I'll take some wild guesses of that. But James Agee, was he from California?
He was not from California.
Stowe from Connecticut?
She was from Connecticut. Very good.
Oh, excellent. Plath from, I want to say, Mississippi.
Not Mississippi.
Ezra Pound, you said, was a bizarre one, right?
Yeah. Well, to me, anyway.
So Hawaii?
Not Hawaii. Not quite that bizarre. Almost that bizarre, but not quite.
Utah?
No.
That would have been a surprise.
In the Shakespearean words, how about horse?
Horse is not in the top 20.
Friend?
Also not. I'm scanning my list. What'd you say?
Glass?
No.
Hat?
Nope.
And I'm going to go out on a limb and say this, and just for the anachronism, how about internet?
That's just off the list.
Former uses.
That's 21.
Okay. The Shanghai, the longest, is that like a, is that like a, how about a yo-yo? I don't know.
No.
An 86-foot long yo-yo. No, all right.
That'd be something to see.
Albert Finney passed away.
Right.
Of course, and he was in probably my favorite movie, Miller's Crossing. And I don't know if you've seen it or not, but that the Coen Brothers movie Miller's Crossing,
right.
He played Leo, which was originally written for a specific actor.
Huh.
But they couldn't use that actor because that actor happened to die before they started filming. So do you know who, can you name who that actor is?
He's not extremely famous,
so if you can name maybe a role that he did.
Is this actor somebody who was in previous Coen Brothers films?
Yes.
Was he in Blood Simple?
No.
Okay. And was he British?
No.
Okay.
I should narrow it down so there was
what year is
one
Miller's
film between Blood Simple and Miller's Crossing.
What year is Miller's Crossing?
Oh, I want to say 90, maybe?
Yeah, 1991. Something like that's sort of right.
Yeah, so between Blood Simple and Miller's Crossing,
and there's only one Coen Brothers film in between those two,
right? Yeah.
What was that? What was the film?
That might give it away. It's Raising Arizona.
Oh, I know you're. I'm not sure I know the name of the actor, but it was the one that played the father of the kids in Raising Arizona.
The title role, Nathan Arizona.
Right. And he also played he played a baseball manager in another major.
Bull Durham.
Bull Durham. He was the manager team.
So not Wilford Brimley?
No, I can't think of his name.
Is it Wilford Brimley?
No, Trey Wilson.
All right.
It was great. And then Albert Finney, also in Miller's Crossing, he's also in a aside from the main role that he played of Leo, he's also in it in another capacity. Can you guess what that might be?
Did he dub somebody else's voice?
No.
Stunt double?
No.
Another capacity. Did he sing on the soundtrack?
No.
Is this an acting capacity?
Yes. Yeah.
Huh. And would we see it on screen?
Yes.
Huh.
I don't know.
No. Did he?
Yeah, he appeared. Oh, go ahead.
Did he play?
I don't want to take up too much. Rammstein.
Well, it's okay. Did he play like his own father in a picture or something like that in a photograph?
No.
Okay, then we.
No, I'll just give it to you. Yeah, he just dressed up in drag and played a kind of a flapper lady in one of the scenes where Gabriel Byrne's character goes into the ladies' powder room to confront Marcia Gay Harden's character, and he tells all the women to clear out, and he's one of the women who clears out. You can definitely see him and see that it's him. If you ever watch it again, look out for him.
That's interesting.
That's great.
Okay. Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Thanks a bunch.
All right. Bye-bye. Let's see. I think it's my turn here. What is the single most imported fruit to the United States?
Bananas?
Nope. What is the single most imported fruit to the United States?
So what don't we grow here?
By percentage or volume?
By volume.
Okay.
Is it a very popular fruit, or is it more obscure, like the star
fruit? We do grow it here. We just don't grow it in sufficient amounts.
How about kiwi?
No. What is the single most imported fruit to the United States? And I'll give you one more question because that's short. Let's see. Who was the first woman to play who was the first woman to play a leading Shakespearean male role on stage? And what was the role? Who was the first woman, and it's a famous woman or else I wouldn't be asking, to play a leading Shakespearean male role on stage?
Was it Sarah Bernhardt?
It is Sarah Bernhardt.
Yeah.
What did she play?
She played more than one. And I think the first one was Hamlet.
That's correct.
All right.
Hamlet.
What year? The 20s?
No, it's before that. I think it's around 1900, I think.
That sounds right.
All right.
Good.
Okay. Nice. Anyway, so what is the single most imported fruit to the United States? And the two numbers are area code 415-841-4134. And toll-free, 866-798-8255. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Roland in Bernal Heights.
Hi, Roland.
Hey, I sat here listening as the Babylonians were pulled out from
under me. That'll happen.
I know. I have a couple of guesses on the authors. The only one I actually know is Ezra Pound, and he was such a weird dude. Nothing you say about him actually would sound that weird.
Yeah, I suppose.
But I know he was from Idaho.
He was from Idaho, yes. Yeah.
That is a surprise.
Yeah.
Yeah, I went to the University of Pennsylvania.
Less of a surprise.
And so James Agee, was he from Tennessee?
He was from Tennessee.
Oh.
Yes,
yeah.
Very good.
He wrote that book with Walker Evans.
Let Us Now Praise Famous Men.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
And let's see, for... the 50 Ethel Mermans, were they singing So Long, Farewell, A Vita Zang Goodbye from...
God, it would have been so good had they, but it wasn't them. That really would have been great, yeah.
And then Shakespearean words, how about Lord or Lady?
Good guess. Okay.
Let's see, not Lord, and Lady is about 20th.
Oh, okay.
I'm looking for more than Lady.
All right, well, I have a quick question for you. So you, I asked... some months back about the Treaty of Portsmouth, which you got immediately, so I was impressed with your knowledge of treaties. So here are a few treaties, and we'll see if you can tell me what they settled. Some of them are easy. So Brest-Litovsk.
That was the peace treaty between the Imperial Germany and the Soviet Russia.
Bingo. Westphalia.
I think there's been more than one of those. Is that the Seven Years' War? Not the Seven Years.
Keep going.
The Hundred Years' War?
Not quite that many.
The
30
Years' War.
30 Years' War.
All right.
Exactly.
All right.
What about Utrecht?
That's a famous one.
That's not my
that's
choice.
The one. That's the only one I should know, but yeah. I don't.
It's most likely going to be between Catholics and Protestants.
Yeah, there we go.
Right.
Well, it's the War of Spanish Succession.
Okay.
Actually.
All right.
And then one last one. The Treaty of Caltabellotta.
I'm not familiar with that. Give me a hint on that.
Sounds great.
This was a conflict that actually became a Verdi opera.
Hmm. Okay.
Need Josh.
What would be the general historical time frame of this?
It's in the 1300s.
Oh.
And it's an Italian word.
Right. So nothing to do with the wars. No.
Actually, Sicilian word.
Oh, so the Turk? No, the Ottomans and the Phoenicians. The Ottomans and the Italian. Well, the Ottomans.
No.
Mm-mm.
This is the Sicilian Vespers.
Yeah.
So, between the French and the Sicilians.
Oh. Well, I'm sorry I didn't do a little bit better with that.
one of the lesser known operas. Anyway, all right. Thanks very much. Great show.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Bye bye. And let's see. You have a very quick question.
I do.
Okay, go ahead.
Before the call? Okay. And I like this question. 1946, the British, post-World War II British consul asked George Orwell to write an essay that they were going to publish to improve international cultural relations. Two things. What was the topic, and why did they reject it and never published it?
Once more?
So in 1946, after the war, the British consul asked George Orwell, who we all know, to write an essay they were going to publish, and the express purpose was to improve international cultural relations by writing about this particular topic. So they signed on the topic, he wrote the essay, and because of something in the essay that they didn't like the result of, they rejected the essay and never got published, I think, until recently. So what was the topic? And that would have improved cultural relations around international cultural relations. And why did they reject it? And it would be, it'd be an unexpected George Orwellian topic, given what we know about Orwell.
You want to guess?
No.
It was an essay talking up British cooking.
It is.
It was to promote British food, British recipes.
Correct.
And then the recipe
Which had a bad reputation.
Which had a very bad reputation.
Yeah.
And the recipe he gave was rejected as terrible by the reader. And I want to say, was it marmalade?
It was.
Okay.
His orange marmalade was too much sugar, too much water.
All right.
So they rejected it.
Yes.
Give yourself a couple of bells.
All right.
Now, I love that.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, I think I have an answer maybe for your question about the fruit.
Oh, good. Okay.
So this is Chris from Rafferton, and it's a fruit that I think I like, but it doesn't like me. Avocado.
That is correct.
Really?
Avocados. Very good.
Wonderful. And I have one quick question.
Demand for demand for avocados has gone up 138% in the last couple of years. So anyway, that's
really,
yeah.
Well, you got to walk along. So
yeah, I don't like them either. So there you go.
I like.
Well, you like them, but you stay and eat them. I guess that's it.
Yes, correct. So I have a question, quick question. Since
right.
Tonight's the Grammys, and this is something that is for the people from Detroit. So over his career, the real Slim Shady has won 15 Grammys and has been nominated for 43. Which of these awards has not been awarded to Eminem? Is it Best Video, Music Video? Is it Best Rap Album or Album of the Year? Which of those three?
So he didn't win one of those.
Correct.
I'm going to say Album of the Year.
That is correct. He won Best Rap Album 5 times. Best music video once, and never for album of the year.
He's been nominated 43 times.
Wow.
I know. Yeah. It's amazing. Yeah.
I'm impressed.
That's what happens when you come from Detroit.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Way to go, Don. I had no idea.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Okay, finally, it's me.
Yeah, finally, it's you.
Okay, Claudia from San Francisco.
Hi.
And somebody took my avocado. Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll give you a bell. Anyway, there you go.
The guacamole bell.
Dashiell Hammett, I was driving God in the middle of nowhere in this state, and he signed said he was from there. Anybody know where he was from? Obviously not San Francisco.
Right. I thought he was from the Midwest, but I don't know. So I'll guess Indiana.
No. Okay. And I'd like to leave it with your whatever.
Well, we've only got 5 minutes left in the show. I don't know. You might be.
Okay. No. He is from Southern Maryland, which is out in the boonies.
Oh, so down the Chesapeake.
Yeah, down there.
Okay.
Okay.
Interesting. So, thank you very much. I'm sorry we couldn't. We didn't have more time for people to guess on it. So.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you.
Thank you very much. Bye bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Oh, that's me.
That's you.
I thought Bob and Ray was a really good guess. That's where I was going.
Good,
and
it's a great guess.
You said it was at the early time.
It was in season
and that
one.
But it was Bob and Ray still viable.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with now. Franken and Davis were on the show, but did they host one episode? Maybe
they didn't host.
Okay,
but that's
all
another
right.
good
well,
guess.
Then I'm going to. I don't think Cheech E. Chong hosted.
They did not, but that's a good guess. It's a credible guess.
Well, I'm trying to travel back into my past there, and all the other guesses. How about Mary Kate and Ashley? Did they host together?
They did. The Olsen sisters, Mary Kate and Ashley Olsen, in season 29.
And how come they have three names, but there's two people? I don't understand. I've never been able to figure that out.
One of the great mysteries of our time.
I know. One of them is like behind the scenes or as the writer, or what's the story there?
And there's a third sister, too, who isn't one of them, right?
Yeah.
Who's a serious actress.
I can never tell which one is Mary and which one is Kate and which one is Ashley.
They don't care. They're billionaires.
Good night.
Yeah. We don't have to straighten that out. But those were the sisters.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello, this is Cece in San Francisco.
Hi, Cece.
So, in regard to Shakespeare, the most commonly used words, this is really boring, but is one of the words not?
One of the words is not, and it's not boring. That's a great guess.
One of the words is not.
Yes. Okay. not is correct. So, no, that isn't what.
All right, guys, have a great night.
Thank you. You too.
Yeah.
All right. Last call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hey, it's Sparky and Maddie. How are you all doing?
Good.
Okay. Comedy duo on Saturday Night Live, Dudley Moore and Peter Cook.
That's it.
Yeah,
Cook and Moore.
Job.
Very good. Season one.
Right. Length of day on the equator is always 12 hours of sunlight.
No.
No.
No, because of refraction and the size of the sun, it's 12 hours and 7 minutes.
Oh.
There you go.
Technicality, right, Sparky. Yeah.
Okay, pull the plug. We're done.
All right, thanks, Sparky. Okay, time to clean up here. Lori?
All right, the top five words used in Shakespeare from number one to five are good, love, king, never, and heart. All pretty basic stuff. We got to Saturday Night Live. We did not get the Ethel Merman saying, and by the way, the guesses were great, shake, rattle, and roll. And the San Francisco Gay Men's Chorus saying, San Francisco, open your golden gate.
Okay. And yes.
In January of this year, Shanghai opened the world's longest 3D printed bridge.
Really?
It was entirely built with a 3D printer. It was 86 feet long.
Oh, that's terrifying.
Okay, let's see. What do I have? I don't have much left here. Sylvia Plath was from Massachusetts, and I think that is it for me. My thanks to Lori Fisher from Diablo Valley College and Don Chapo, attorney, and I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. Of course, our thanks to David Lantulipe handling the board and phones tonight, and above all, our thanks to you for taking the time to tune in and call in. We appreciate that very much, and we also hope you will join us next Sunday at 7 p.m. Please stay tuned for the two-hour tribute to Damian Meyer. We're all looking forward to that. So take care, everybody, and please join us next Sunday at 7. Bye-bye.
If it ain't gross, it's net. It's gotta be this or that. If it ain't sis, you can't miss. It's got to be your brother. Can't you see? It's gotta be one way or the other.